Okay. It's nice that that part wasn't recorded, right? Now we're recording. Now we have to be very serious. No, it's really a delight to be with you here this morning. Your excellent pastor is celebrating his 8th anniversary of ordination? 7th? 7th. 7th anniversary of ordination tomorrow, I think. So I offered to preach for him today as a gift. Also, I already had a sermon prepared. But that doesn't take away the gesture, right? All right. Serious now. You're welcome. So we in the church are spending these days of Advent counting down until December 24th, the night when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And I have noticed that much of the rest of the world is doing some counting down these days, too. They tend to be counting down the days until the end of 2016. Not just because of some great big New Year's Eve party, but all over my Facebook and Twitter feeds, people are saying to 2016, hey, screw you, 2016. People can't wait until this year is over. They say 2016 has been the worst yet. I can't say I disagree. 2016 has brought so much unrest, so much destruction, so much violence, so much hatred boiling up, particularly in our country. So we are, all of us, in the church and outside of the church, waiting. We are all of us waiting. We're waiting for something better, something hopeful, something graceful. And into our waiting comes John the Baptist. And he is asking Jesus, are you the one we've been waiting for, or is there another one yet to come? In the ancient world, there were lots of different groups who were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting on the Messiah, and they all had different expectations of what the Messiah was supposed to be like. In fact, there were some communities that expected two messiahs. One was going to be a political sort of king, kind of conqueror, and one was going to be a religious messiah, somebody who would make over the Jewish church, the practices of the religion at the time. The gospel writer of Matthew is in his gospel trying to answer that question, are you the one that we're waiting for? And it's particularly important to him to say yes. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one we're waiting for. Jesus of Nazareth is the expected one, the one in whom the kingdom of heaven has come near. And how do we know? Well, we know from Jesus himself in his answer to John, because the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Now these days it seems to me that a lot of people are looking for something different, for a way out, for change, something other than the status quo, a savior, a messiah maybe, a Jesus. And it seems to me that these days in American Christianity, we offer two different kinds of Jesus. We offer, in America, a really hard-line Jesus, a black-and-white kind of Jesus. This Jesus says, if you don't believe in me, you go straight to hell. And this Jesus is counting our sins, not unlike Santa Claus, but counting, making a list, checking it twice, counting our sins. And the really big sins to this Jesus are abortion and being gay and having sex before you're married. Like, these are the big sins to this Jesus, right? The alternative to this hard-line black and white Jesus is a nice, soft, fluffy Jesus. He's a nice Jesus. He wants you to feel good about yourself. He wants to make you feel comfortable. This is Jesus who wants us to be nice to other people and probably do some charity work. This Jesus feels like our church is perfect just the way it is. We don't need to change anything. If people would just realize how great we are, they would come right along. Now, For anyone who's looking for a Messiah, anyone who's looking for God with us, Emmanuel, anyone who's looking for something beyond themselves, American Christianity offers, and I recognize I'm being cynical here, but stop me if I'm wrong. What American Christianity offers is a Jesus who cares about you personally and not much else. Either that you're doing the right things and not doing the wrong things, or that you feel good about what you're doing and you feel nice and fluffy about your life. Of course, neither of those Jesuses are enough. Neither of those Jesuses are accurate. Neither of those Jesuses are Jesus. Now, it would obviously be pretty arrogant of me to stand up here and say, I know the true Jesus, and I will tell you all about him, and you will be enlightened, and then the world will be a much better place, right? If that were the case, they'd make me Bishop of the Universe, which is a job I don't want, by the way. But I wonder if in this Advent season we couldn't think about a third way, a different way, a different way to talk about Jesus, a different Jesus to offer to the world, a way that embraces the mystery of Word made flesh, a way that emphasizes the forgiveness that Jesus offers, a way that embraces not just me and people like me, but all the people of the world, a way that values the land and the seas and all the creatures made by God, a way that, like the Magnificat sings, looks on with favor on the lowly, shows strength to scatter the proud in their conceit, casts down the mighty from their thrones, lifts up the lowly, one who fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty, one who aids with mercy and keeps his promises. That's the kind of Messiah, the kind of Jesus for whom people cry out. This is the kind of long-expected, long-hoped-for change that the world needs. This is the Jesus who comes to us as a baby in Bethlehem, who then healed the sick and fed the hungry without questions. This is Jesus who talked and ate with the people that everybody else had written off. This is the Jesus who called out the authorities of his time for the injustice that they caused. This same Jesus upset those same Jewish and Roman authorities so much that he ended up receiving the death penalty and died on the cross. This Jesus rose again, proving that his principles are God's principles. And he charges us, his church, to be his body on earth, to offer this third way of justice and peace. So, I want to close with one of my favorite Advent and Christmas hymns from the Chieftains of Dublin and Jackson Browne. It's like a lifelong dream of mine just to do this song in worship, so thanks. The song is called The Rebel Jesus. And the very last line, it's written from the perspective of a person who is not a Christian, who's outside the church. And the last line is, I wish you pleasure and I wish you cheer from a heathen and a pagan on the side of the rebel Jesus. And in that line and throughout the song, I hear a plea from the non-Christian world to the Christians of the world to live as the rebel Jesus did. They are longing, and so are we, for a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
pray to him upon the sea, and in every bold endeavor, and they fill his churches with their pride and gold, as their faith in him increases. But they turn the nature that I worshipped in from a temple to a robber's den. In the words of the rebel Jesus, God, a world with ox and gum, and we guard our prime possessions, and once a year when Christmas comes, we give to our relations, and perhaps we give a little to the poor, if the generosity should seize us. But if any one of us should interfere in the business of why there are poor, it is the same as the rebel Jesus. Pardon me if I have seemed to take the tone of judgment, for I've no wish to come between this day and your enjoyment. In a life of hardship and of earthly toil, there's a need for anything that frees us. So I bid you pleasure, and I bid you cheer, from a heathen and a pagan. On the side